Hey, it's Brian Hayes. So last year, my neighbor forgot to get their eaves cleaned. And let's just say the leak in their basement will make sure that doesn't happen again. Not going to happen to me, though. It's fall, and that means it's Jiffy time. Booking my eaves cleaning and yard cleanup took all of 30 seconds. It couldn't be easier. Thanks to Jiffy, I say bring it on fall. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code SPORTS for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, fast and reliable, home maintenance. Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic, Frankie Corrado. The Leafs are already on their way to Pitt, winning 4-3 earlier today down in Minnesota. We'll head down to Minnesota momentarily, catch up with Wes Waltz, former teammate of Jamie Noodles McLennan.
In junior?
I think they played together in the NHL.
Okay.
I think they were both in Minnesota.
Yeah, Wild.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
But Wes is an analyst down there, and we'll catch up with him, get his take on the game, what he thought of the Leafs.
Yeah.
Matt Murray played extremely well.
They're very unhappy with him there.
Yeah, they're not happy with the post-to-post and him knocking the moorings off. And
there's some post-game stuff coming out there, Jonas?
Dean Evason not happy.
Everson's a snapshot.
Dude, Evason
looks, freaks on the bench.
He looks like he's ready to lose it at any given moment on the bench.
I like it, man. I like a guy with that type of just loose cannon look. He looks like he is ready to snap all the time.
He invented the scowl.
He loves a scowl.
Loves a scowl.
Yeah, and scowling at the refs, probably at the opponent, his own team,
of
course.
His own team. I couldn't imagine making a mistake coming off the ice, and you got that just waiting for you until you get back to the bench.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of famous guys with a good scowl behind the bench.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, a coach in hockey could do what a manager in baseball can do? Just in terms of, like, losing it.
Mm-hmm. Get on the ice and snap.
Right? Like, just, like, go over the top, get right in his grill.
Yeah.
Jimmy Playfair.
Yeah.
Now, that was like, close. Excessive, though, right? Yeah. Like, he was throwing stuff on the ice. And
did he throw the bench? He was throwing sticks.
Yeah. Like, that's extreme, obviously. But we talked about it yesterday. You look at NFL coaches, they never get flagged, and they are going ballistic on the sideline, right in the face of a ref.
Pete Carroll is on the field. All the time. He's always on the field.
But you see Dable yesterday, the Giants head coach, he was going crazy. Like crazy. And it was never even contemplated that he'd get flagged or possibly kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, what do you have to do in the NFL to get kicked out?
It's a good question.
I don't know.
Run on the field, I guess, so I can just, like, stomp around.
I guess.
Just because there's so much space and it's so loud, it's like, you know, it's like a mosquito just kind of near your ear. You're like, I'm just going to walk over here.
I guess
I don't hear you anymore.
And you kind of have to yell, to your point. It's so loud in there. If you're going to get your point across as a coach, it's got to be yelling.
Yeah.
And you can't, if you're yelling, you look angry, right? Like, you could yell niceties.
Yes.
People yell, you know, go team, go. But it's tough to look anything but angry.
Well, and
when you're yelling, generally speaking.
In baseball, it's kind of quieter. And the manager, he could just be yelling at the umpire for, I don't know, 1 minute, turns into two and three, and then it's like, okay, I've had enough. I got to toss you because I can hear you, I can see you, and we're trying to play.
It's the fact that they're on the field. Like, that's what makes it so distinctive, right? Like, the manager got to get up the steps, runs out, and won't leave.
Yeah.
You know, we just saw Dave. Look at him up on TSN 2. Look at that guy. Look at him undressing the ref. And
won't even look at him.
It's all good.
Nothing.
No problem. Yeah, we're good. We're just going to continue here. I don't remember the last time a Leaf coach got tossed from a game.
Does it ever happen just much. In general?
I don't. I mean, there have been NHL coaches that have been tossed in history, but I don't remember the last time.
It doesn't happen often.
No.
I don't know. Because I feel like a lot of the times when they show coaches on the bench and they're snapping, it's not necessarily only at the ref. Like, a lot of times they're snapping at their own players, too.
Yeah.
I've played for coaches where it's like, you think he's snapping at the ref, and then you look down the bench and there's the same old suspect just
getting
an earful. That's
the guy getting it.
And you're like, oh, just another game for so-and-so, getting an earful from the coach.
Yeah, that, you're right. And he's looking forward.
Right.
But the guy down the bench, he knows he's yelling at him.
Yeah.
He knows exactly.
He's coming back off the ice, and coach is looking at him, and there's some profanities, but he's also, the main message is, are you kidding me?
Right. Are you kidding me? You're killing me here, Smalls.
Yeah.
But the Leafs with a very impressive win earlier today. 4-3, that's, you know, you go into Jersey, you beat them to kill the streak.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go into Mini. It's a holiday down there. That building was rocking. People were ready to party and at least get off to a quick lead. And that's an impressive win, man.
That's an
impressive win considering the lineup, considering what's going on with the Leafs.
That team should be very, very proud of themselves and the way they've battled and competed.
Absolutely. All right, let's head back down to Minnesota. We caught up with Mike Johnson earlier. Johnny was between the benches. And now we've got an analyst on the other side of things. He's a former NHLer, and he's with Bally Sports North. Here is Wes Waltz. How you doing, Wes?
Hey, I'm doing good, boys. How are we doing tonight?
Doing very well. We're just talking about Dean Evason, man. I love the fact that this guy behind the bench, like, he is ready to snap on any given time. Is he fun to watch? Because he's animated behind the bench.
Well, he was animated tonight way more than he normally is. He's actually pretty calm behind the bench. He does get emotional from time to time after goals are scored late in game, in games. But, I mean, he was an emotional player when he played, right? And he's pretty much the same way behind the bench. But he was obviously a little more animated tonight than he normally was. I don't think he was very happy with the amount of times the net come off its moorings with Matt Murray when the Wild had some extended zone time, especially there in the second period. So that was probably a bigger reason why we saw his head get to a different shade of red than we normally do.
Yeah, and that's been kind of consistent with Murray. It happened a couple of nights ago in Jersey. And, like, what's your read on that, Wes? Is it intentional? Is it fluky? Because I can understand why Evason would be kind of rattled considering the details that you just pointed out.
Yeah, you know what? It's really weird because I got to be honest. The first time it happened in the first period, I was working the game tonight, and it kind of almost looked like an accident. It looks like it would look accident on purpose. I was kind of up in the air, and I even said on the air, I don't know if this is one of those cagey things where he kind of pushed off his even harder than he normally does, but something we're going to continue to watch. And I had no idea that this was. And has been a trend for Matt Murray and how he plays. I mean, Freddie Shabbat, who's our goaltender coach, he had some quotes. I don't know if it was his quotes after the game or if it came from Evason, but Freddie Shabbat said it is a trend that he has Matt Murray. And the one in the second period was a great play by him because he didn't get called for a penalty. And I think the Wild had the puck in the offensive zone and for a minute and 20 seconds and had fresh guys on the ice on it. They're able to get guys on and off the ice in a one goal game. And that was a big play in the game for sure. And that one without question was pushed off with his arm. He had the overhead angle. You could see he pushed it off. And then the third one, again, it was kind of those tricky ones. I don't know if you can actually blame him for the third one, but it come off very, very easily. So I don't know. The Wild didn't generate for me. The Wild didn't generate enough offensively. And I don't know what Johnny had to say. I didn't listen to your interview with him. I know he was between the benches there tonight. But, I personally got to give the Toronto Maple Leafs a lot of credit. They played a great, strong, solid game. They played exactly how you need to play to win games when you have a depleted lineup. And I think, I've watched this happen a million times in NHL hockey. When you get injuries in your lineup, it helps you get to the type of game you need to play to win over a consistent basis. Now, the tricky part is when guys come back and they get healthy, can you continue to play the same way, or do you just continue to play loose? So, for me, being out west, you don't see the Toronto Maple Leafs as often as I would like, to be honest with you, but I'd love for that team to have some more success in the playoffs. And the way they're winning games right now, guys, by defending, I think that's going to serve this team really, really well when they get into the big boy games in the playoffs.
Well, Wes, we cover the team and we talk about them. We watch them a lot. So, we've kind of formed opinions on Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, a lot of the elite players on the team. But, another strong night for those guys. Nylander scores, Marner scores. What'd you think of the Leafs' big boys tonight against Minnesota?
I thought for the most part they were pretty quiet. Obviously, Nylander's the one kid that, any of those guys at any given moment, they just need a half a chance to score. And that's what makes the Leafs so, so dangerous is because you can do a great job checking them all night, but they just need one chance to score and it's in. And it's something that this Minnesota Wild team had last year, with Fiala and Kaprizov. I think we finished fourth or fifth in the NHL in goals for, and it's just been such a struggle for the Wild. And, I've really grown to love John Tavares' game. He's just a winner, man. You know, he can't He doesn't move around the ice like he did 5-6 years ago, but now he's playing the game more with his brain. And he's a leader, right? He's just dragging these guys into playing the right way all the time. And I mentioned it on the air tonight. I watched, you know, Austin Matthews block some shots defensive, you know, in the defensive zone, and something that you don't always see all the time. You know, we play Colorado quite often. They're in our division. And, you know, when down the stretch the last couple of years, I would start to see Nathan MacKinnon blocking more shots late in games. And he was doing it in the playoffs. So those are the type of things that can galvanize a team, that can bring a team along. When you start seeing your stars blocking shots and laying out and playing the right way, there's a lot to be said for that, guys, I'm telling you. And if you've got a locker room full of guys that love each other, you can go a long way.
We're chatting with Wes Waltz of Bally Sports North, former NHLer, longtime Minnesota Wild. Leafs getting past the Wild 4-3 today. We mentioned, obviously, that we had Mike Johnson on, and Johnny was between the benches, and he said the same thing about the way the Leafs defended. But he mentioned one player in particular where that did not apply, and he said that's when Kaprizov was on the ice. He's like, when Kaprizov was on the ice, it was basically a fire drill, like make sure you can do whatever you can to stop this guy. I mean, he has hit the ground running in his NHL career. He is an unbelievable player. You get to see him day in, day out. You know, people in Toronto don't. What can you tell us about the ceiling of Kaprizov and, you know, how well he's playing and what could be what his future might look like as an NHL player?
Well, what you guys witnessed today is what we know about Kirill Kaprizov. I mean, we watched that pretty. I mean, he's definitely the last 3 or 4 games has elevated his game in another 10-15%. But guys, that's what we've watched here since he's come into the league. I mean, you know, I'm obviously doing these games on television, and I watched the first 30-40 games of his career. And I'm thinking to myself on the broadcast, like, I want to compare him to Sidney Crosby. That's how good he is in the offensive zone. I couldn't bring myself to say it, but, you know, earlier in his career when he had 30-40 games in under his belt. But now that he's played 100 games and I'm watching him do it night in, night out in the offensive zone, the way he can skate and move and protect the puck and his heart and how hard this guy plays. I mean, he's a top 3-4 forward in the NHL. You know, we play here in Minnesota and fly over country too, so not a lot of, you know, Canadian people know exactly how good this is. We know exactly how good he is, and obviously the Wild haven't had a whole lot of success with Kirill Kaprizov in the playoffs. I think he had 6 or 7 goals in the series the Wild lost last year, but he's an amazing hockey player, and the guy comes to play and he plays that hard every night. And it's one of the reasons why the people are hanging. You see 97 jerseys all over the place. He's a special, special player. And if this Wild club in the next couple of years could ever go on a crazy playoff run, the rest of the world would understand exactly what this guy brings to the table.
Well, Wes, in this market, we always seem to talk about the future and where players are going to go, where teams are going to go. And one of the guys who's probably a person of interest plays on Minnesota, and that would be Matt Dumba. And a lot of markets are going to think, well, there's a guy we can use. Like, how would you describe Matt Dumba's game? Like, what is he going to bring to a team if he were to go somewhere? But ideally, I guess you would want him staying in Minnesota long term. Like, I don't know, where is that something that's going to happen? And if it doesn't, like, what is he bringing to a team?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, his name has been brought up in trade rumors for the last 3-4 years, and I'm sure that kind of wears on Matt after a while. The reason his name's in trade rumors over the last 3-4 years is because he has value. But the Wild situation with the buyouts of Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, over the next 3 years, guys, the Wild have cap hits of $6-8 million for each guy. So there's, you know, $12-13 million of dead money the Wild are giving back to the league every time they take the ice, which makes it very difficult. And obviously, you know, if you move on from Matt Dumba, they've got a really good player playing at the University of Minnesota, Brock Faber, who's a right-handed shot, who I think is going to have an opportunity to probably jump into the Wild lineup right when he gets out of college. He's an outstanding right-handed player, too. So for Leafs fans that are listening, I mean, this guy is a gamer. He's a warrior every night. I mean, he brings it. He plays. I know he was -3 here tonight. He's a guy that really plays hard every night, and he has had some injury issues over the last 3-4 years. He plays a real physical game, and he's not an overly big guy, about 185-190 pounds. So Injuries have been a bit of an issue over the last couple of years, but he's been healthy pretty much all year. And I wouldn't be surprised at some point here between now and the trade deadline if somebody that needs defenseman gets their hand on him. I'm sure, I don't know what the price is, but I'm sure Billy Guerin is probably looking at the cap situation thinking it would be a spot where the Wild could free up $6 million and spend that money wisely at some point. And Matt Boldy's going to need a contract at some point too here. So that money would end up probably just going to Matt. But it's going to be tough sledding, guys, for the Wild next 2-3 years just with the cap situation we got here.
Yeah, that's for sure. It is. It's a unique scenario out there with those buyouts and having to pay the price for that now moving forward. He is Wes Waltz, former NHL, longtime Wild Bally Sports North analyst. Really great of you to take time for us, Wes. We appreciate it, and hopefully we get a chance to do this again down the road.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Wes Waltz, former teammate of Noodles, both in junior and in the NHL.
There we go.
Yeah, if Noodles was here, we'd probably get him to give us a full breakdown. But
yeah,
I just wanted to say, can you imagine if those cap hits were in this market?
Parise,
the dead
and
money. Like I'm looking at it, it's 6.3 each this year. It's 7.3 next year, and 7.3 the year after each.
That's so
brutal.
Wild.
Each.
It's crazy that Bill Guerin found a way to sell ownership on that idea. And I think it makes sense based on the players. Like Parise and Suter, they're not the players they were.
Parise's still like, he's a player. Like,
right.
He's
still, and Suter's still like playing.
Suter's still like munching minutes.
Yes.
Not the way he used to, but he's playing on a good, like he plays on Dallas. Know,
but I guess.
Good team.
What would, like their contracts were what, 9.5 or, like what was it if they went here? Like the cap hit was 9-something for a number of years.
It was north of 9.
So they started looking at it and saying, you know, how do you do the math on whether or not the $6 million, $7 million is worth it to actually save the additional $3 million that we would have had to pay them to have on. I don't know. It's a really ballsy play because everyone knows like Minnesota's in big trouble. Like Kaprizov is getting paid. He got his deal.
Yeah.
But he's going to come up at the end of all this.
Well, Wes just said Boldy's going to have to get paid.
You
had to get rid of Kevin Fiala, who you traded Granlund for, who's a really good player. Like, I think maybe that's something we underestimate a little bit in this market, the fact that they've been up against the cap for a long time, but they've been very efficient at it. Like they haven't had that dead money, that wasteful money, you know, eating away at it. Whatever you have up against the cap is on the ice. That's your product. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wasted. Yeah.
No, like they've had to trade their way out of what would have been likely wasted contracts and give up assets to do it, right? Like Zaitsev is
which
in the minors, and that's hurt. And if he was still here, that would cause them problems. And getting out from Marlowe's deal and getting out from Mrazek's deal. Like they've made mistakes like every other team in the league, but they haven't allowed it to either linger or the cap to be affected.
It felt like
they've got out from underneath it by paying collateral to do so.
Yeah, and it felt like when those deals were signed, like Zaitsev and Marlowe were Lou deals, so Kyle inherited those. But anything that Kyle's done, it felt like there was an exit plan with those things in mind. Like something like Mrazek, we knew the exit plan. Kyle knew it. He knew what he was going to have to do, and he could stomach it at the end of the day. Like, I don't know if I could stomach what Minnie has. Like, that's
tough,
man.
It really wasn't that much of a savings right away.
Per year.
Yeah, it's like they're paying almost 12.7 to
for two guys not there.
Not
dead
to play
money
for not you.
To be there. Dead cap.
Imagine that.
Crazy.
Yeah. In a flat cap world where you need superstars, you need highly paid players.
You're how do you sell that?
Like I guess I'd be curious to know how close to the ceiling the Wild are on an average year anyway. In other words, if their owner says you have a budget but it's not the cap.
Right.
Like, you know, if the cap is 82, you have 75 million.
Yeah.
Like, are they doing that anyway, where they've been under the cap for a while? Like,
that's a good question.
Working under it anyway?
Someone in that market would have the answer to that, or if you did a little digging. But, like, just from being there on the road and stuff, like, that's not like a typical small market team where, you know, you get 12,000 sleepy fans. And, like,
no,
we're talking, that's
legit.
The state of hockey. It's a sellout every night. They're rowdy. Like, they expect a lot there. And
those are two homegrown guys, too, Suter and Parise, that went home together.
And that's a market that's hungry to win, too. Like, they, you know.
Yeah, they haven't been really close.
They know hockey. Like, they want a winning team, and they haven't been close. Like, have they gotten past the second round?
I don't believe since they've been back in Minnesota.
No. I feel
not
like
that
they,
I can recall.
They might have got to the second round.
And that's 20 years. They've been around
once.
For over 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, they've been back in Minnesota for over 20 years. I don't recall a long, like, they have not been in the Cup final for sure since.
No. I think the furthest they may have gotten is the second round, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is rich coming from us, where the Leafs haven't gotten out of the second round, but.
Yeah. But listen, a fact is a fact. Exactly. The Leafs have no bearing on the facts of, you know, Minnesota hockey.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is that's a tough sales pitch. I would guess it was Bill Guerin. My assumption would be Guerin, in order for him to take the job, he probably said, this is what I have to do. So if you're going to hire me, you got to allow me to do this because I can't have these guys. Like, I got to move on from them and
I think he was hired before.
He was hired
before they bought them out.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is when he took the job, he probably looked at it and said, I'm screwed with Suter
and Parise. You can't come into the interview and say that.
Why not? He's Bill Guerin. He's been around for a long time. He had a great reputation.
Jonas, I think there's GMs, there's coaches who will go into an interview and say, listen, if you really want me, there's a couple things I'm going to need autonomy over. Mm-hmm. And for him, maybe that was one of them. We're not privy to that.
No,
but maybe
of course.
That was.
That might actually have been a sales pitch where they said, this guy's got some courage to come in here and
right.
say, you want, like, if I'm taking this gig, I have to buy these two players out.
Yes.
And I'm telling you what I'm going to do with this.
That was Costanza going into Steinbrenner's office.
And doing the opposite of what everyone else was doing. Because if you went in there, you would probably think, well, I have to make it work with these two.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't possibly buy them out. So here's my plan to work alongside them. Or maybe Guerin just said, I'm like, the elephant in the room is these two guys got to go.
It's tough, though.
At that price.
It's tough to, because now, you like Wes alluded to, you got 2 or 3 years where you know your team is kind of just scraping by.
Yeah.
Like, you just.
Yet they've been a playoff
traction.
They were a playoff team a year ago.
This year's a struggle. They're on the outside looking in.
Yes.
And, you know, Fleury's been hurt. He hasn't played very well. It's just, yeah, I mean,
yeah, they're in the mix, but yes, they're currently on the outside looking
in. But what's weird is the contracts aren't that much longer. Like, they could have just ridden this out, and I don't know. I don't really understand it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was a culture thing. Maybe it was turning over a new leaf.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what happened? Knows? They probably couldn't find any one-way tickets to Robida Island. So then
just have them play. Like, what's they're playing in the league?
I think Suter, for me, I would have him playing for sure. Maybe you think Parise's lost it a little bit, but he's playing on the Islanders. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty good.
Well, and if you're going to pay 6.5, why not just play 7.5 and have him play for you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe it's something
But the
else.
Cap hit was higher than that, was it not? Or
no, 7.5.
Cap hit was 7.5?
That 7. Was the 5? Cap hit? Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's strange.
Anyway, it's just like if that happened here, it would be like we would never stop talking.
Yeah, it would be a non... I'm sure it's a topic of discussion there. I mean, Walt West brought it up unprovoked. We didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
You know, like you mentioned Dumba and his future, but he mentioned that they're in real cap purgatory.
Yeah.
In Minnesota.
Well, and that could be another casualty of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like Fiala's a casualty. Now you're going to have Dumba potentially. Yep. Like that's a guy who you drafted in the first round. You've
developed. He's a good player. And yeah, he might be a casualty. He might.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a Leaf game that has been wrapped up. They're on their way to Pittsburgh. The Raptors are back in action tomorrow. Your boy Luka's in town.
MVP. And,
yes. And what I'm a little bit surprised by is that Fred VanVleet practiced today, but he's still questionable to play tomorrow.
Wasn't
with an
he
illness.
Under the weather? Yeah.
Yeah, but like, why would you practice?
I don't know. You're testing it out.
Just getting some reps.
You just want to see how you.
I don't know. I just wonder if that's I'd be shocked if he didn't play tomorrow, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's kind of like, because Shulgren's been announced as the starter tomorrow. I guess it's not necessary you make that announcement, but if he's in good enough shape to show up in practice, how does he not play tomorrow? Like, it'd be surprising if he didn't play, and they need him.
Yeah.
They desperately need
him.
They do. Because Siakam's still out. Barnes has been ruled out for tomorrow. Achua's still out. I think Porter's still out.
Is Banton still out, too?
Banton is questionable for tomorrow. He may return. Like, that's a kid that's missed a huge opportunity here.
Yes.
Like, there's all these injuries. Delano Banton would be playing 35 minutes.
Well, he had that one game where he had 20-something
awesome.
Points. And
he looked
was
great.
A rock star. And
a lot of it is, the opportunity's got to be there, but you got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
And
you've got to be available, man.
I get it. I'm just saying in general, like, you can't control it if you're hurt. It sucks.
Yeah.
But if he was healthy, he could be 8-10 games into this where it's like, man, you found a role on this team.
I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I'm starting to get a little worried that Scotty Barnes is like hurt and then he's not hurt. And it's the ankle and then it's like, I don't know, man.
Been a lot of injuries with him.
It's been tough. Like we talked about, yep, the sophomore slump potentially catching up to him. It's been like the injury sophomore slump. It sucks.
Yep. It started immediately too, right? When he showed up at camp. We have a poll question going at Overdrive 1050. The first time this has ever happened. Very indecisive.
Can I just ask, why does it take like 50 people to beat you at this?
Isn't it incredible?
They need three of them to beat one of you?
And one of them is a Super Bowl winner who was in the league like 2 years ago.
And now not only can the three of them not beat you, they need other people?
It really is. It's gutless is what it is. Like, it's absolutely deplorable that these guys cannot come to a conclusion collectively on who to pick. Bucks minus 3.5 at the Browns, that they are going to the people and they've posed a poll question on Twitter and they're going to go with the result. You're right, Jonas.
It's like, also crazy too, because if you think about the summer that we had on this show where people are calling you Mr. Overdrive. They're saying Hayes is the whole show, and they left it in the hands of the people.
Right.
Who do you think the people are going to steer in the right direction?
But you're right. That is why I get the support I get, is because the three of them are teaming up against me, and they can barely get it done. And there's a lot of runway still for Team Hayes to blow past these guys.
Where did they score in the IQ test?
Low. Yes, right. Below average, I believe. Golftown's Black Friday event is now on in-store and at golftown.com. We want to send a congratulations out to Blake Adams on Instagram. Blake Adams on Instagram, you have won a $500 Golftown gift card. That's huge. This year, Golftown's Black Friday sale is bigger and better than ever and is on now through Sunday, November 27th. Visit golftown.com for more details and early Black Friday savings. Shout out to Blake.
Blake
Balake. Yeah. Shout out.
Going with a stealth demo, maybe. Who knows?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. There's a lot of good options. A lot of good options down there at Golftown. All right, we'll come back. There was a bit we created this time last year on Black Friday. I don't remember it going as well as the grappler remembered it going. But we're going to knock the dust off, and we're going to try to circle back on this. Big shoes to fill for you two. You guys got to bring the heat here.
No problem.
All right, we'll explain it. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never going to see another one like I have.
All right, so first time in show history, Al's brother, Luke Wilson, the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, completely indecisive, could not come up with a pick, so they've gone to the people. They have posted a poll question at Overdrive 1050. Has never happened before. Who should they take? Bucks or Browns? That was a first, and possibly starting a trend, because this is something that has also never happened before. We were preparing to bring back a bit, like a spin on Black Friday that we did last year. I know Andy was in. It was Andy Petrillo, and I don't remember if it was O or Noodles, who else was with us. But effectively, it was, you know, are you going to buy something? Like, are you going to line up on the street? Are you going to buy it online? Or are you going to flush the sale? Effectively, you know, a statement's made, like every other bit we do. There's options, and you go through it, which we thought was a pretty good bit. And we're going to bring that back. But Frankie, you came up with something different. I don't really understand the genesis of this. What is the genesis of Jonas and these eyes?
You remember this? Yeah, come on.
We did a show together in the summer, and Jonas said Juan Soto was the best hitter that his eyes had ever seen.
Of course. How could I possibly forget that?
Yeah.
Maybe it was such a bad take. I had it erased.
He went into the tank. He was awful after you
made
that claim.
So bad.
He would not be happy.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. So we're going to trade one bit for a new bit, These Eyes by Jonas.
Yeah.
So it's your show here, Jonas.
Thank you.
You've got takes. Things you're seeing, right?
With his eyes.
His eyes.
That's what I think.
This is what you see. Your eyes.
And we're going to say if we see it or we don't see it.
Right. Yes.
Okay, because this was the nature of our discussion. You were like, that's a terrible take. And I'm just telling you that that's what these eyes have seen.
Right. It was like just
it's my opinion.
Your feeling based on your experiences.
With yes. his eyes.
With your own eyes. Yes. All right. I love it. Okay. We're making a trade.
All right.
Jonas, what do you have?
This is actually true. These eyes see the Niners and the Chiefs playing in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's what these eyes think. And these eyes think the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl.
Wow. These eyes are seeing that a lot, too, actually. I have to be honest. I think that's a pretty good pick. Like, I guess the one thing is, and it's unfair to chirp your eyes because, you know, the field is still a pretty legitimate pick. You know, but you're making a statement here, and I think you're honestly going with the chalk here. Like, you're going with, I would guess most people watching the NFL Weekly believe the Chiefs are coming out of the AFC, and now the Niners are starting to really get cooking and are coming out of the NFC.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the Cowboys?
But that's the thing. The Eagles, Cowboys,
the Eagles are there.
The Bucs are starting to play better. The Vikings are...
They are 9-2.
They are 9-2.
You can't dismiss them at 9-2.
You can't dismiss 9-2. And on the AFC side of things, the Bills are still the Bills. The Dolphins have been good. You know, Tennessee's a tough team to play against. The Bengals have been a lot better.
I like
recently.
The Bengals, yep.
So I like what your eyes are seeing, but I will play the field because it's so precise. Okay. Niners, Chiefs. If you said one of those two teams, I would go with your eyes. But both of them, I'm going to put glasses on you.
I'm thinking about it now, and Luke Wilson alluded to it. He goes, the Bills maybe are not who we thought they were. So I'm down with the Chiefs.
Okay.
I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Vikings,
no.
I'm not. Like, you can't dismiss them, but I would have the 49ers ahead. The Eagles, for me, have been one of those teams where I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I get it. You're 9-1, but I don't trust it yet. I don't know why I don't trust it yet.
So did you watch Jalen Hurt in the playoffs last year?
Yeah.
Not good.
Jonas, I'm seeing it.
Yes.
I'm seeing
wow.
it. Wow. And I see the Chiefs and the Niners, and I see the Chiefs winning it.
There you go.
I see it.
I mean, look at you two. Look at you two.
Right,
sharing eyes.
This is bold.
Okay.
These eyes still think.
Oh, here we go. Wait a minute. Your eyes think or do they see?
They see.
Okay.
I guess
your
they
eyes
don't
are,
think.
Yeah, your eyes are seeing something.
This doesn't feel likely, but these eyes still see Austin Matthews winning the Rocket.
Whoo.
Yeah. So just to give you some context,
likely.
The league leaders right now have 16. Austin Matthews has 9.
See, that the crazy thing about him is he could be in the lead by New Year's Day. If he
could
plays,
be in the lead by the end of December, which is New Year's Day.
Thank you. Look at this. This guy's seeing a lot of crazy things. I think I'm still with you.
Yeah.
I think he deserves that respect. I think he's been the best goal scorer on the planet for at least 3 years. I think the baton had been passed from him to Ovechkin. He still holds it. He's not in a great place right now in terms of 5-on-5, in terms of domination, but he's the best goal scorer in the world. Like, he still is. I can't go against him with another 60 games left to play.
Until he's not the best goal scorer, he is. But Jonas, I'm not seeing it.
Oh, wow. I see.
I don't see it.
I still see it.
You know who I see?
Don't
Number
see
97
it.
In Edmonton.
Wow.
He is going to win a Rocket, and it's going to be this year. And that's who I'm seeing.
Yeah, listen, he's been held off the sheet a couple times recently, too.
But he's one of those guys similar to Matthews.
Yes.
You keep him off the sheet a couple games,
they'll get
and
going.
Then it's like, oh, there's 2-1 night. There's one the next night. Then there's another 2. Like, he's doing
something.
He's
explosive.
Yeah.
He's the most explosive like point getter in the league, not even close.
His team has no depth. Like, I did a hit the other day on Edmonton. It was like Evander Kane has 13 points in 14 games. He's gone for a while now, right?
Mm-hmm.
After that, the drop-off is Ryan McLeod at like 5 points in 20 games. Like, they're in serious need of some depth if that team wants to make the playoffs. But with that being said, you have Dreisaitl, you have McDavid. They're both going to score a ton of goals. It's mm-hmm. hard. It's hard to bet against them.
Listen, and you got to jump over a lot of guys. Like, Matthews is tied for 32nd in goal scoring. Ovechkin has one more goal than him. You know Ovi's going to score. Sid's up there. Kucherov's back in scoring. Kaprizov's a goal scorer. Kaprizov will have 40-plus. Dreisaitl will have 40-plus.
Did you say Pasternak yet? Like, Pasternak's having an unbelievable
year. He's already got 13. Rantanen's having a great year. Like, there's... There's a lot of guys who are going to score a lot of goals.
He can do it.
He is different than than the rest of everyone when it comes to his ability to score. So I'm still seeing that by the end of December or early January.
All right, for the next thing my eyes are seeing, do you want basketball? Do you want soccer?
It's your, whatever your eyes,
your
are
eyes
seeing, really.
Jonas. We it's not binoculars. We can't move them around. Like whatever your eyes are seeing.
These eyes are seeing Canada advancing to the knockout round.
This year at the World Cup.
I'm seeing it.
Wow.
It's just what I see. And I checked in before the tournament with my man Josh Cloak, who's in Qatar.
We had him on the show the other
day. I heard. I was very
happy. It was great to have him on.
So he told me before, he said, they're probably going to lose to Belgium because Belgium's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He said they have a chance to draw with Croatia, and they have a really good chance to beat Morocco. And after what I just saw,
yeah,
I believe it.
That's the blueprint.
I'm believing. I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Canadian at this point, you're hoping Belgium runs the table.
Yeah.
Like, just take your 9 points, first place, see you later, go. And with that, that means Croatia is going to lose to Belgium. You just got to take care of Croatia to set yourself up
aging
for a
team.
Game against Morocco. Yes. I'm starting to see it, too, Jones.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it, too. I was so impressed with the way they played. I like their general attitude. I like their approach. They're younger. They're faster. Croatia is older. They're slower. Like, Modric is still an absolute superstar, and trying to stop him will not be easy. But De Bruyne is better than him right now.
Yeah.
And they did that. Like, De Bruyne did not have a great game by his own standards. But Modric, like, Croatia wasn't great against Morocco. You know, like, it's... And I saw the panel talk about this. You don't play the reputation or the name. You play the game the way it's currently being played. And at this point, Canada's been legitimately very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing that too, man. I'm starting to feel it that they can get out of the group stage.
I'm looking around. I'm looking around right now. And when I look around,
eyes wide open,
I see Canada, who won CONCACAF. Canada, who qualified for the World Cup. I'm seeing the Mexican coach saying Canada had the best game of the tournament. So it's not just my eyes. It's the facts and other people's eyes.
Of course.
So Jonas.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing Canada go to the knockout stage in this World Cup. And like Brian alluded to, you're playing a team in Croatia, a little older. You got young legs. Like, other than Atiba Hutchinson, who's, you know, an elder statesman on the team, those guys are young, they're fast, they're playing aggressive style of game. There's no reason why they can't get a draw against Croatia and beat Morocco.
Mm-hmm. And that's what has to happen.
And there you go.
I mean, there's some bias here. It's subjective.
Why?
Because I want to see it happen.
Just kidding.
Yes.
Like, you know, I would love to see it happen. And if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I probably would not have seen it. But that the way they played, man, that was thoroughly impressive.
I'm seeing it.
Like, they really played well. Is that the best they got? Possibly. But if it's only them getting started, like, that hasn't come up a lot the last 48 hours. Like, what if that was just them getting their foot in the door?
That's just the appetizer.
And there were nerves, and they played really well, but they can be better.
Well, they
is it possible
better.
They can be better? And their set pieces, they got to be better up from, you know, corner kicks were not solid. Obviously, the penalty wasn't very good. They've got to be more
assertive.
They have to be more assertive.
A little more conviction in and around the goal area.
But pace and, you know, the possession time, they were great.
And the other thing,
sure,
too, like with this stuff with Herdman now, I don't know, I feel like that catches the attention of the room.
Hopefully, and, they stick up for him, man.
You see your coach, you see that image, and you're like, okay, we gotta do this. You know what I mean? We gotta calm this down for this guy, or else it's gonna be this guy lives on Croatian tabloids forever,
right?
As a running joke.
You know they've got it in the chamber. If Croatia beats up on Canada, Herdman's gonna take a beating over there.
Yeah.
Not that, again, what does it matter what people in Croatia are saying or doing?
It's a little bit of a rallying point for the team.
Yes. Hopefully for them, it absolutely is. Do you have one more? Are your eyes, do you have any more vision left? Are they
blurry? I'm starting to waver on what my eyes were seeing.
Okay,
so
that was a good start, man.
I got one more, though.
All right.
The shootout in the NHL will be gone by 2030. Wait, what year is this? 2022? That's a long time. Maybe earlier.
before 2030.
But you have your visions. You got a lot of vision, Jonas. 8 years of vision.
See way down the road.
Yeah, 7 years of vision.
I just don't know what's going to replace it. I guess would be the thing.
That's why I'm not seeing that at all. No. I think it's here to stay. I don't think they want to go back to and I don't want them to go back to ties.
What about just extended 3-on-3?
They're never going to do it because the PA won't do it.
Guys run too thin already. Mm-hmm. Like there's, I'll tell you why I see it, Jonas.
All right.
Because I said this once on the air. I said it to Craig, and I don't know if he laughed at me or not. But I said, at some point, why don't you do 3-on-3 overtime with no offsides? And and you will generate a goal right
away. Wayne Gretzky's 99, the video
game? Literally, like 3-on-3 overtime with no offsides. Because how many times do we see guys have to tag up and bring it back 3-4 times, and it kind of kills the flow of everything? Let's just say it's once you enter, you've entered the zone, and it's up to the other team to clear the blue line with possession.
And maybe then you can just cherry pick and hang down there if you want?
Something like that. Like, that's the only thing that I could see, maybe.
Yeah.
Unless you do 2-on-2 and then 1-on, but I don't know, that's gimmicky.
See, that to me is just as gimmicky. One guy on the one-on-one.
That's
one
too
on
gimmicky.
One.
So
3-on-3 is not gimmicky?
It is, but you've already gone that. Like, there is a limitation to how far you want to go.
Once you gain the blue line, you gain the blue line, and then that's it. Your offside is waived now until the other team clears the blue line. I don't know. I see it.
I think
see it, Jonas.
There's a slippery slope there, though, that, like, if that works, do you bring that to regulation? You know, I don't know. I wonder if 3-on-3 in overtime in the playoffs is ever going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a vision for that, Jonas?
That's ludicrous.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary, but I think it would be wild.
What if in the playoffs you had to shoot out after a certain amount of OT?
That would be ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
People
but it's
would
okay.
be so rattled
that would be
about
ridiculous.
That. I would be rattled, too.
But you look at the World Cup.
They go to penalties.
Literally, champions are crowned off of penalties.
Yeah.
Like, that's... And guess what? People don't complain because that's just the way it goes.
Well...
Like, that's the way it goes.
If you follow enough hockey people on Twitter, they will complain about soccer penalty kicks.
Wait,
games ending that way.
Weren't the Olympics 1 year for hockey? Wasn't that... What isn't my mind remembering?
Well, Canada got knocked out in 98.
Yeah,
because
exactly. Nagano.
Hasek stood on his head.
All right.
Gretzky didn't shoot.
Gretzky on the bench. Mark Crawford, what are you thinking? Yeah.
He wasn't seeing it.
Not the best.
Crow wasn't seeing
it. Also, these eyes still see Juan Soto as the best hitter I've ever seen.
Do you?
Yeah.
Not wavering.
You got to own that one.
Yeah. I believe in him till the end.
Yeah.
Greatest hitter in the league.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Of all time. You said the greatest, these eyes.
No, that I've seen, right?
He's seen.
I never saw Babe Ruth.
Did you
see
Bonds?
Yeah.
You saw Barry
Bonds.
Saw Bonds
in his prime.
Yeah, very good.
Bonds had statistically maybe the greatest. Actually, I don't think it's disputable, the greatest season of all
statistically
time.
Statistically enhanced.
But that doesn't change your eyes, Jonas. Like, there isn't a PED filter.
Well, my eyes are connected to my brain.
Anyway. All right, there you go. These eyes, I think that's a pretty good bet.
Pretty good.
All right,
these
there
eyes.
You go. All right, legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. And tune into News Talk 1010's Gift of Giving for SickKids. December 15th from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donation will help save the lives of our most vulnerable children. All right. Leafs coming off a win tonight. Leafs back in action tomorrow. Raptors in action tomorrow. Canada, Croatia on Sunday. The World Cup is continuing. We'll look ahead to a busy weekend. Get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. We'll do that next. All right. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The Broncos have been probably the most disappointing team in the NFL this year.
Oh, yeah.
And
except for the Packers.
Yeah, possibly the Packers. I can't even dispute that. But I think with all the hype of Russell Wilson.
All they traded
for, all the primetime games.
Let Russ cook.
And you look at the stats, if they just put up, you know, 18 points a game, 20 points a game, they'd be like 9-1. Their defense is outstanding. Yeah. And that's why I'm looking at this line. They're in Carolina, and they're laying 1.5. I'm all over Denver here. Like, Carolina is terrible.
Well, and Sam Darnold, I think, is starting.
It doesn't even matter, but I think you're right. And, like, Denver is better than what the record has shown. And at some point, I do think it will connect and something will come together. I'm all over Denver at Carolina. I like Seattle at home against Vegas. I made that pick against Luke's brothers.
Yeah.
-3.5 on FanDuel. And I'm going to lay some cash down on Canada, Croatia. A draw on something.
You like a draw.
It feels like plus money on a draw.
Why not just go all the way? Go for the win.
You're getting plus money on a win. You're getting plus money on a win. I think a little sprinkle on both. Maybe. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, kind of a gutless play. But if you get plus on both and one of them hits, you're going to make some money.
Is it plus on a draw right now?
I think you're getting plus on. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. All right.
Nothing on the Sacramento Kings?
No, I'm not. I refuse to acknowledge the Sacramento Kings.
They're everywhere, man. They got that laser beam after wins coming out of the stadium.
They're winning.
They're everywhere.
Full credit to them. All right, so the pick is in also because Luke's brothers, they got no stones. They don't know how to make a pick. They had to go to the people. They posted a poll question on Twitter. And it's been up there for an hour because we've been waiting. What's going to happen? Bucks or Browns? Bucks or Browns? They're taking the Bucks -3.5. 64% of the vote came in, and they are on the Bucks. That means I'm on the Browns +3.5 at home. In the muck. It's supposed to rain. Al's brother, meteorologist.
I don't need that for you, actually. Karma is a strange thing.
You love the slop, though. You love the slop.
I do. Like it. I like the slop. And I like the fact that Al's brother likes the Browns. So if the Browns cover, then his head's going to explode because...
Tension.
Yeah, there's tension. So there you go. All right, Jonas, good seeing you.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, buddy. Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. Frankie, great seeing you. Frankie Corrado. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.